There are a few things more epic than when the announcer gets in the middle of the ring at one of those events and starts to like announce this crazy psychotic dude who's like muscle bound running out, and like you can see how cheesy that is and like over the top, right? But it's so epic. It's like it's all about the dude, right? It's all about this guy making you think how awesome he is and all the hype behind it. How many of you are like WWE wrestling fans out there? It's all one of you. That's good. That's so good. There's one of you. So I'm not either. I can't stand it. But it's just so funny because it's like the hype just blows my mind and it makes me laugh. And as we're coming up to our story tonight, our true story tonight from Scripture in 1 Samuel 17, we're still walking through epic battles of Scripture. Right? And the epic battle that we're going to look at tonight is a very well-known story that you guys have heard. Probably since you were like in Sunday school, like as a little kid. It's a story that most of us talk about, we hear. You could tell me probably tonight on your own without me even reading it what the story is about. It's a story of David and Goliath. Right? And so as I think about the story of David and Goliath, as we start to read the passage, it almost feels like that as Goliath is being introduced and like the crazy hype about who he is and how strong he is and how big he is. And it's so unbelievable. It's almost like it's hard to even wrap your mind around it. It's like bigger than life. But it's true. Like this was a real dude. It wasn't just some dude with makeup doing like fake dance fighting on like a really bouncy mat. Like this is a real deal in a real war. And this guy made these dudes look like sissies. Goliath was a massive beast of a man. And so as we get into this passage, I want you to try to disengage your mind from hearing all this kind of like true hype. It's hype, but it's true about Goliath. And not have a picture of him like that this is a story. That this is just some like legend, that this is some big, blown out of proportion thing, but that this is a real dude who really lived in a real time and place. Okay? So as we open this up, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you guys have Bibles, go there with me. I'm going to start reading in verse 3, and we're going to walk through this passage together, all right? It says, "And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath." Right? I can already hear like, "In this corner, weighing 6 million pounds and 17,000 feet tall." You know, like one of those things. Like, "Goliath of Gath!" And everybody's cheering. Like, this dude comes out on the mountainside and everybody in his army is like applauding and cheering. Like, "This is our champion! This is the dude who nobody can stand up against. I dare you. Do you see how tall that guy is? His arms look like an oak tree. Like, this dude's huge." And they are so confident. These Philistines are so confident. So let me pick you up real quick. I'm not going to pick you up. The only Goliath. Right? So it's not one of those tonight. But let's catch up to where we're at. Because the Israelites have like done a lot. They've left Egypt. God did some miracles to bring them out of Egypt, to make them a people. They fought the Amalekites. They've had all these battles. They went to Jericho and watched the walls fall down. And now they're like, "Hey, we want a king." And God's like, "I made you a people." So they're like, "Give us a king." And he's like, "I don't want you to have a human king. I'm your king." It's called a theocracy, where God is the ruler. And that's what they had. It was this awesome thing where they just followed God. But they're like, "We want a king who's a man who can lead us." So they got into this argument with God, and finally he gives them this guy named Saul. And Saul's this big, strapping, tall dude, maybe 6 feet tall. Apparently, like, we get that idea from Scripture. Common dudes are about 5 feet tall in that time. So, like, I was a tall dude back then, right? And so Saul was probably about 6 feet, people think. Like, that's what they throw out there anyway. And they liked him because he looked like a warrior. But he wasn't a good dude. And right now, he's the king. And they're facing the Philistines, and the Philistines are kind of taking over the place. And so they're in this like gridlock battle with them, where they're on one mountain, there's a valley between them, and the Philistines are over here with Goliath being like, "Bring it on!" Okay? So that's where we're at. And so the cool thing about Goliath is that, like, you guys can Google this. There's lots of articles that are really, really trustworthy that are out there, videos that have been taken that you can watch, like interviews, where they're discovering more and more things that are proving what the Bible says, confirming what we already know is true from Scripture. They found some pottery just recently. They're like, hey, we found cool pottery. It says Goliath on it. Like, his name's on this pottery there. They think they found, like, the actual location of where Gath was at. They found this huge gate that matches the descriptions perfectly of the place. They're uncovering some really cool stuff that's saying the story we all thought was just a kid's story about David and Goliath, there's, like, archaeological evidence we're pulling out of the ground that this thing's true. Now, here's where I want to stop you, because we can kind of do what the world does right now and go, sweet, phew, Bible's right. Like, now we can believe it. Don't do that. You see, as believers, we already know it's true. God's word said it. It's true. It's cool that the archaeologists are catching up to what the Bible already knows. That's good for them, and I applaud them for that. That's really cool. But I don't follow their lead. I follow the Bible's lead. So when we talk about science, and science says, hey, we just figured this out. The Bible actually is right on that fact. You know, we're like, phew. No, don't go phew. They're catching up to what the Bible already said. We don't follow science to determine what the Bible says. Does that make sense? So in this case, I'm like, good for you. You're finding out what we already know. God's word says it. I believe it no matter what science says, no matter what archaeology says. I trust God's word first. And that's important for you guys to remember, especially now. As you go to school, as you go to college, and that's not the view that's taught. All right? They're telling you, what does science say? What does archaeology, geology say? What do the physicists say? You say, what is my God saying in the word? That's what I'm following. And you can trust this thing. All right, so they did find some cool stuff. So that's pretty awesome for them. God's word is absolutely true. And now it talks a little bit about his height, right? How big is this dude? It says, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And you're like, 6 cubits? No way! And you have no idea what that means, right? Like, not 6 cubits. Let me tell you what 6 cubits actually is. I don't do math, so I looked up some other dude who did the math, so I hope he's right, okay? But I'm going to throw it out there. They say it's 9.5 feet tall, 9.5 feet tall. A 9.5 foot tall dude is pretty tall. Shaq isn't that tall, okay? Like, there's nobody in the... Well, actually, there's one tall dude, and I'm going to show you a picture of him. If you guys have that and can find it, throw it up there. There's the tallest dude ever recorded that we know about and wrote down is right there. He's 8 feet, 9 inches tall. He's standing next to a dude who's like average height, just under 6 feet. That should give you some comparison. That dude's still like almost a foot shorter than Goliath. And he's a lot scrawnier, right? It looks like Gumby. So that's just for reference. He's actually the tallest recorded human that's been written down. Is that dude? And I forgot his name, but you can Google him. I'm sure you will. You probably already have. He's 9.5 feet tall, or 9.5, as most people say, but I like to say 9.5. And the average height, like I said, is 5 feet. So think about probably David, probably 5-foot-ish. Saul's taller than David. Saul's probably 6. And you're almost looking at a comparison of height in that picture of David to Goliath. That's like, I don't want to pick a short person in the room, that'd be rude, but that's like me, let's just say me, right? Going up, standing against like some dude who's a professional basketball player and trying to dunk on him, like you'd be like, Rob, you're so short. Like when you see me next to them, it's this massive difference, especially in their culture because they're typically shorter than we are. All right? 5 foot's pretty short. Sorry, some of you girls who are 5 foot. Mrs. Chupka's what? How tall is your mom? Like 3.5 feet or something? Something like that? So she's really short. So you guys will be taller than her. Don't worry though. All right, so it says this about his armor. Check out his armor. It says he had a helmet of bronze on his head. Wow. And was armed with a coat of mail. Metal, like ching, ching, ching stuff, right? And the weight of the coat was this, 5,000 shekels of bronze. Woo! You have no idea what that is, do you? Right? It's heavy, though, and I think I looked it up somewhere. Let's just say it's heavy. Okay, this stuff is a massive armor. He had bronze armor on his legs, right? Like shin guards, soccer players. Imagine if your shin guards were made of bronze, right? You try to run around and like play with these. This is massive armor, but it's not so much that it was heavy because we'll see David in a minute is offered a bronze helmet too. Saul had a bronze helmet. The thing about this armor isn't as impressive that like it's heavy, but it's like the highest quality. He's wearing the best armor around. Where everybody else is wearing Walmart brand like cleats, and the dude comes in with like the Nikes that cost like $300, right? Like that type of deal, that's Goliath. He shows up with the gear that everybody wants. He's got the swoosh and everything, like the whole deal. This guy has the best of the best armor. He's the biggest around. Nobody's as big as him. He's massive and strong. And check out his weapon. Look at this. And a javelin of bronze. Okay. Wow. Slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Right? How many of you guys weave and you know exactly what I'm talking about? Yeah, my weaver's beam is pretty big, right? But it's big. It's a thick thing. Right? So, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, which is 15 pounds. 15 pounds! Angel, where are you at? How much is the thing you throw? What do you throw? You throw shot put, right? Okay, so 6 pounds, and they're out there like busting a gut. You know, throw it a couple feet. This dude's picking up a 15-pound just the head of it and throwing that thing through the air. That's like his weapon of choice. We're talking about a massive dude who is like an elite warrior. Now you see why I showed you that video? You're like, why are you showing like wrestling videos, Rob? It's so many. Because that's what it feels like. This dude is so hyped, but it's real. It's unbelievable. To stand in front of this dude would probably make you shake a little bit just looking at him. Have you ever stood next to a really tall person and just been like, man, I'm small, you know? Or like next to a really tall building and you get dizzy looking up at it. It's like one of those. That's how I feel right now when I think about how big this dude was. And to top it all off, this part makes me laugh. Look what it says next. And his shield bearer went before him. So you got this like massive dude and then this little 5 foot tall dude with a shield like walking in front of him. Like, what's he really going to do to protect Goliath? Why do you even need that guy? But to top it all off, he's got a dude whose only job is to just protect him with a shield. Where do you even start when you come at this guy? Right? Like, where do you even like attack? What do you focus on? He seems impenetrable. Like, he's the dude at the end of the video game that's like the massive like boss you're trying to kill, like, and you just can't figure out the cheats to get him, right? He's that guy. He's unbelievable. And then look what it says next. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. So he thinks he's a big deal, because he is a big deal. Why have you come out to draw up for battle? He's trash talking them. Why'd you even show up? Like, why'd you even come here? It says, am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. So this is like a common thing. In their time period, like armies would come up at each other. They'd be like holding their spears and their archers would be doing their thing. And they'd be like about to attack. And then they'd send their like people out to the middle. You guys have seen the movies, right? And they're all like, hey, how are you? And they get a white flag and they're like, let's talk about this. No, let's just kill each other. And it's usually how it ends up. Well, that was a common deal. Let's not kill every soldier by fighting army against army. Let's see if we can settle this a better way. You send your best dude, we'll send our best dude. The guy who wins, wins it for everybody. We don't have to do the battle. We can skip all the death and the goriness and all that stuff. Just let these two guys fight and duke it out. That's what they did. So Goliath comes up to the front, this big, massive dude and this little scrawny guy with a shield in front of him, right? And they're walking out like, you guys don't know who Monty Python is, but it's funny and I picture it in my head. So they're like coming out to the front and he's like, hey, send me a dude that'll fight me. If I kill him, we win. You guys be our servants. You give up. If he kills me, we'll be your servants. What do I care? I'm dead anyway, right? At that point. So we'll be your servants. So it's a common tradition. Now listen, by no means was Goliath trying to be some like really nice humanitarian guy who's like, oh, I feel bad for you. Let's save lives. The dude was bragging. Like, this is straight up bragging. I'm so amazing that you don't have anybody in your ranks that could ever stand a chance against me. So let's just finish this here and now. Let's save some time and just go home. It's like this humiliation that he's doing to the people of Israel. Like, you guys are all scrawny. You're servants of Saul. Do you know who I am? And this guy's just reeking of pride as he's taunting the Israelites. And here's the deal. At the end, he tells us he's doing that because he says, I defy the ranks of the Israelites. He's like, I'll stand up to any of you. None of you can stand up to me. The funny thing is, he thinks that the Israelites are all just a bunch of dudes. He's forgotten something really important. That they serve the God of all creation. That God himself is standing in the midst of the Israelites. So as he's taunting them, saying, none of you can stand up to me, God's looking back going, oh yeah? Bring it on, man. But he's totally forgotten that in his own pride. Then it says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed, like freaked out is what that would mean today, and greatly afraid. Let's say it twice, just in case you didn't get it. They were so scared, they ran and probably peed themselves a little bit, all right? Not one dude wanted to face Goliath. They're like proving him right. They were so scared. And you know what that tells me? You know how Goliath forgot that they serve the God of creation? They also forgot that they serve the God of creation. Goliath is looking at them, telling them how weak they are. And they're thinking, man, we're weak. They're forgetting that God stands for them and with them, and that it's not just a big dude that they're up against. It's not the ultimate warrior on the other hill. He's going up against the God of all creation who has our back. It's funny because they forgot so many things. They forgot the time that Israel won the battle without even raising a sword. Or the time that Moses held his staff up and they kept winning because God was there. Or the time that the walls of Jericho fell at a cheer. Or the time God split the sea in half and killed the Egyptians. They had forgotten all the times God had actually shown up for them up to this point. And here they are once again in a similar situation. And instead of going, bring it on, you haven't even seen what our God can do, they sat there and trembled in fear. They had forgotten how many times their God had come through for them. They lost their faith and their trust in God in this moment. Trying to trust in themselves and their own leaders, they just stood there in fear. It says, now David, switching topics, all of a sudden David comes into the picture. It says, now David was the son of an Ephrathite, say that, it's a fun word, of Bethlehem in Judah, named Jesse, who had 8 sons. It's like the Brady Bunch, right? It's like the McConnell clan back there, right? 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. So Jesse's an old dude. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. His oldest dudes, sons are like strong guys. They're out fighting with Saul. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle with Eliab, the firstborn was Eliab, the firstborn. And next to him, Abinadab. And the 3rd, Shema. Good names. Strong names, right? David was the youngest of all of them. So you have this little scrawny runt of the litter, David, who shows up. And he's got some big strong brothers who are already trained soldiers out on the battlefield. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. They're trained soldiers. David's a shepherd. They're big, brawny dudes who have worked out a lot and practiced sword fighting, and David's led some sheep around the field. That's what we're looking at here. No sword, no shield, no training. And it says this, for 40 days, that's a long time, that's over a month, for 40 days the Philistine, Goliath, came forward and took his stand morning and evening. This dude's not letting it go. Every morning, every evening, he's coming out and he's just taunting the Israelites, telling them how weak and pitiful they are. That's a lot of trash talk. Like, I mean, I understand a little bit at the beginning of the fight, but like 40 days, it's a little excessive, right? So this guy's doing that over and over and over. David doesn't like it. Check out how David takes this. And Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Bring your brother some food, right? Also, take these 10 cheeses, very nice cheese, to the commander of their 1,000. I don't know if he's kissing up or what, but bring them some cheese to their bosses. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. Go check on your brothers, bring them some food. Now, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the Valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the provisions, and he went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. Here we are 40 days later, and guess what? There's still no dude who's willing to step up and fight Goliath. They're all saying, we would rather go together as an army and die next to each other and not have to one-off with Goliath. They want to hide in the numbers. There's still no one that's looking at that guy going, my God's bigger than you. My God is stronger than you. I'm not going to face you alone. Still nobody from that army is there yet. And so they're faced up army to army. Let me just sum up the next couple verses. This is what happens. Verses 22 to 30, David hears Goliath come out and taunt some more, and he gets really upset. He's like, what? What did you say about my God? And he turns to the soldiers like, he's been doing this? You guys are letting him talk about our God this way? Like, you guys are okay with this. Who's going to stand up and do something about this? And they're all like, not me. He's like, yeah, but hey, listen, the guy who does it, the king's going to take care of him real good. He's going to get money. He'll probably marry the king's daughter and be royalty. Like, it's going to be awesome. But we're not doing it. David's brother hears, his older brother. He's like, David, close your mouth, bro. Why are you talking? Just go home. I know you're here to cause trouble. Like, you shouldn't be rallying the soldiers up like this. Go home. And he's like, what did I say wrong? And he says it again and again. And he keeps saying it until the soldiers are like, man, this dude's serious. This dude is passionate. This dude means what he's saying. And so look at verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, the king. And he sent for him, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Little David, little shepherd boy with no training, walks up to the king of Israel. Remember, big 6 foot to Saul. And he says, look, all these dudes, they don't want to fight. Don't let them worry anymore. I'll go. Saul's like, you? You don't even have armor, bro. Like, where's your sword? Look what Saul says back to him. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth. He's been a man of war from his youth. Like, this guy's been fighting his entire life. You just became old enough to, like, shave, maybe, right? Like, how are you going to go fight this guy? You're too young. You don't have the experience or the training or the muscles like he does. And as he looked at David, he was looking at his exterior, at his strength and his height and his muscles and his abilities. He was judging him by the outside, by what he's already accomplished, which wasn't much because he was just a young dude. He was looking in the wrong place, and that's funny because when Israel chose Saul to be the king, guess what they did? They looked at his exterior. Oh, this tall, strong dude. Let's get him to be our king. He's a warrior, and here he is. He won't go fight. I don't see Saul jumping up, the tallest of all of them jumping up to go fight Goliath. And here's Saul doing the same thing to David. You're too small, man. You're too young. You don't have what it takes. You ever heard people tell you that? Ever have people put you down and be like, you're too young? Not yet. Can't serve God. You don't have what it takes to serve God. I've heard that. I heard that all my life. I hear it now. And I'm an old dude now. People still, like, you can't, you can't, you can't. The world wants to scream, you can't. We talked last week about spiritual warfare, remember? And the enemy wants you to believe you can't serve God. You're not old enough. You don't have what it takes. You're not talented enough. You can't do it. What are you really going to do for God? And the enemy wants to deceive you into believing that lie. And here from Saul, his own king, he's saying, man, you can't do this, David. You can almost hear the voice of the enemy saying, just give up. Don't follow God. But David, listen to what he says. It is the coolest response, right? But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. Like, I admit, I'm just a shepherd. I get it. And when there came a lion, or a bear, or a tiger, oh my, I always want to say that. No, but that's not in there. It's not in there. And took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. Just imagine that for a second. It's like this lion jumps and you just grab his beard. You're like, yeah. Like, I don't know how that worked. But he says he did it and I believe it. Caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Lions and bears. I don't know if you've been to the zoo, right? But these are some big animals. I don't want to take on either one. Maybe you've seen the clean version of The Revenant, like on TV. I don't know if you really want to talk about Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't ever want that to happen to me. You know what I'm saying? David was such a man. He was just like, boom, kills these things. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he's defied the armies of the living God. Like, David is really ticked off that he's defying his God. God means a lot to David. I love that about David. I love that he cares about his God in this way. That he's passionate about him. That he stands up for him. That he believes in him. So much of that today is lost. We don't stand up for our God. We hide in corners because we don't want people to make fun of us for believing in him. But David's a dude who says, I'll stand up. Nobody talks about my God like that. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. He admits, and this is the coolest part, I didn't do anything special. It wasn't my like kung fu, like shepherd, like karate that I can do that allowed me to be able to grab these bears and lions and kill them. You know what it was? He says, it was the power of my God who delivered me. So he doesn't take the credit for it, even though there's this awesome thing he can boast of. He boasts of it in the Lord. He doesn't take the glory. He doesn't say, I'm such a man. Man, look at me swing an axe. Look at me kill a bear. Look at me kill a lion. He says, I did these things and it's awesome, but God did it. And so I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in God. And that's why I believe I can stand up when people tell me I can't and say, yes, I can. Not because I'm awesome, but because my God called me. And my God's awesome. And I trust that. I believe that. So he looks back at Saul and says the coolest thing. Have you guys ever watched Swamp People? Anybody watch Swamp People on TV? It's like where they go gator hunting and stuff. It's really cool. Anyway, so Swamp People, they're like these really kind of, I'm going to use the word redneck. I don't know if that's bad or not, but whatever. Redneck country people. And they're out in the swamp and they're like trying to kill. Well, this one dude fell in or whatever and had like, he almost got killed by a gator, but his buddy saved him. So he wears this necklace that has like a gator, dried up gator claw on it. And that's his reminder that like, I was saved, like my buddy saved my life. And so I think of that here, like, I know that sounds weird, right? But like, imagine that, like David's talking about these like looking back at killing a lion and killing a bear. And you know what he's doing? He's remembering. He's remembering something huge that happened in his life. It's not that different from saying, man, this thing is what reminds me that I was rescued. And so David can look back at when that bear attacked him and his God said, here I am. I'm going to rescue you. The lion shows up and it's going to kill him. And God shows up and says, no, I'm going to rescue you. And I wonder, listen, I just wonder how many things you have in your life you can look back to like that and go, that's when God showed up. That's when God rescued me. Do you have a gator paw that you can, or claw, whatever, that you can think back to? Do you have moments where you can say, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to get through that night. If you knew how broken my heart was, I didn't know how I was going to make it till the next day. But my God showed up. And all of a sudden, when you're facing the next thing that comes your way, you're able to look back and remember and say, hey, if he showed up then, what's stopping him from showing up today? And as you pray and God answers and he shows up, you're able to take that to the next time. And now you have two things and you're looking back going, God showed up here and here and here and here. God is always showing up for me. God is all over my life. And so as battles and struggles and pain come my way, you know what I do? When people tell me, no, you can't, I go, oh, he already has. You don't even know. He already has. And so I can look back, and you know what this would have been for Israel? For all these other soldiers? Going, our God led us out of Egypt. Our God let us take Jericho. Our God showed up in so many incredible ways you wouldn't even believe it. So today, as we face you, Goliath, you're nothing, bro. You're nothing because I got my gator paw. I can look back at the lion. I can look back at the bear and say, God delivered me from them. He's going to deliver me from you. You know, if you want your faith and your trust to grow in Jesus, give him some things in your life. Surrender some things in your life and say, God, I can't. I need you to do this. And then as he answers and he shows up for you, remember them. Cut the paw off, you know, make a necklace of it. Do what you need to do. But remember, remember how good he's been to you. Remember that he showed up, that he cares. And all of a sudden, the next time, you trust more. And your faith grows. When it's hard to walk through your hallways at school because you don't want to see those certain kids, they're always there, always getting in your face. You can remember, my God's bigger than that. My God shows up for me. He gives me the strength to walk by. He gives me the strength to say something. He gives me the strength to be loving in the midst of my enemies. What do you have in your life that you can look back to? I want to challenge you to think. Think back. Challenge God. Say, Lord, bring to my mind some things that will be my token to remember to say, God, that's when you showed up and I can hold on to that so I could trust you the next time. Let it grow your faith. And Saul said to David, all right, he says, go, the Lord be with you. At first I'm like, sweet, Saul's finally like convinced. He's coming along, he's having more faith. Except look what he says next. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze, this really nice helmet, just like Goliath had, right? The Nike swoosh type helmet, a really good one. And clothed him with a cloak of mail, just like Goliath had. David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Like he hadn't, it didn't work. It was too big for him, didn't fit right. He didn't know it was actually going to work. Then David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I've not tested them. So David took them off. So Saul's like, yeah, you can do this. Go with God. But before you go here, let's like put every piece of armor we possibly can on you just in case. It's not faith. It's not faith. And I'm not saying that just because he put armor on, he didn't have faith, but we can see into the heart of Saul here. And he didn't really believe David was going to do this thing, and he's the king of Israel. But look at David's heart. Look what David does here. He took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistines. He took off all this amazing technologically advanced armor, gives it back to Saul and said, no, I told you, God has this battle. I don't need to hide. He walks out and trades in technologically advanced armor for some stones and a stick. That's what you're going to face crazy dude on the other side of the mountain with? That's all you're taking with you, a couple stones? And in comparison to Saul's armor, in comparison to Goliath's armor, this was nothing. This was some primitive, savage stuff that this dude had, some stones and a stick. Why would this little shepherd boy even go up against this guy? You know, often we're searching, you and I, for the most impressive things. Like we miss the provision of God, what God's doing for us, because we're too busy looking for the impressive answer that we don't see the humble answer right there at our feet. We don't look down and see the stones that are laying right there for everybody that could just reach down and grab a stone. Not everybody had access to the armor Saul had, but everyone could have picked up a stone. So often, it's not about what you can offer God. It's about what you believe about God. It's the faith that David placed in God that made him a force to be reckoned with. Not any sort of crazy weapon or muscles or hype or armor or any of that stuff. It was just that he was willing to say, God, you've got this. And I'm following. Remember, every battle has reminded us and taught us about faith and believing in God and trusting him more. David's encounter with God teaches him to trust God as he walks up against this unbelievably, insanely strong opponent. And in his shadow, he doesn't tremble with fear. He clings to God. That's what I want to challenge you to do. As things come into your life that would cause you to tremble, instead will you say, Lord, instead of trembling, I'm going to squeeze on tight to you. I'm going to believe that there are some stones right here by my feet that might not be impressive, but that you've got this battle. You have this broken relationship that I'm so worried about in my life. You have this family issue that we're going through. You've got that, God. You've got all of these different things that I can bring before you that are scaring me and making me tremble, but God, guess what? You've got it. Instead of trembling, Lord, I'm going to trust you and say, you care about me, you love me, and you've got the power to handle this thing. So I'm following you. I'm trusting you. And then the battle starts. Look at this thing. This fight scene happens. The Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. That's funny. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. He's trash talking, right? But here's the part that kind of grabs me the most, is that the dude was ticked off. They sent a little boy. He's like, that's how little you think of me? Have you seen my biceps? Like, this is the dude you sent? This little shepherd boy with some sticks and stones? Like, Goliath's ticked off. He's offended. He's so prideful and thinks he deserves a real warrior, and they send a boy. Probably still stinks of sheep because he was tending sheep right before this. Like, that's the dude you're sending, really? You see how tall I am? How little he is? You know how this is going to end. I feel disrespected right now. The pride that was in that dude. Then David said to the Philistine, here's his answer. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with a sword and a spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Once again, they don't have to lift a sword. And God says, here I am. I'm showing up. I'm winning your battle. And David lets Goliath know. Brag about your armor. Brag about your height and your muscles and your training. God doesn't win battles that way, Goliath. Sorry. God's going to win this and deliver you into our hand. God doesn't need our talent. He doesn't need our beauty or our strength, our wittiness or intelligence. God doesn't need you to be some superstar. The funny thing is, so many of us today in our culture, in America, right here, that's what we're doing. We're trying to be superstars. We're trying to be the best we can be. We're trying to impress everyone else. We're trying so hard. And listen, I'm not saying it's bad to try to make yourself better or to have goals. That's not what I'm saying. But when we place our trust in that, and it consumes our life, and it consumes our time, and it becomes our top priority, now we do have an issue. We're no different than Goliath. Because we value something that isn't what God values the most. God would rather you love Him more with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, like He says in His Word, than for you to get straight A's, than for you to get a scholarship to some college, than for you to be awesome at some sport. God would rather you love Him with everything you are than be talented or gifted or any of those other things. Not that they're bad. But what He wants most is for you to trust Him and have faith in Him. And that's what David has over Goliath here. God doesn't win by swords. When the Philistine arose, he gets up, right, Goliath? And he came and drew near to meet David. Look what David does. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. So you see Goliath get up, this big massive dude, like limbering over to the battle line, his armor bearer in front of him holding the sword. And David gets up, just like runs. He like sprints up to him. Where I would expect a dude to be like really slow, like this guy's huge, he's going to kill me. David just starts running. He's like, bring it on. Like, I'm going after this guy. I wonder what was going through Goliath's head. Like, what's that little dude thinking? You know, like, he's coming right at me. Fearlessly, and look at, and David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. Bam! The dude falls. Done. Battle's over. Like it was that fast. All that talk, 40 days of I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Feed your flesh to the birds. David's like, done. Really? Okay, you wasted 40 days. I told you already, my God's here. This isn't me you're facing. This is God you're facing. I just happen to be on the field. I just happen to be being used by Him as His instrument. And you know, that's what He wants for you and me. He wants to use you. You guys know that? He calls us His church, His hands and feet, because He wants us to be His hands and feet. He wants to use us. He chooses to. To build His kingdom so people have hope in their life. So people can know a God who can bring them salvation. And He says, you guys who believe in me, you guys right here sitting in these seats in Firehouse tonight, I want to use you. I want you to be an instrument. I want you to go into your school and tell all these kids who are going in there and they're cutting themselves and they're getting pregnant and they're before, like, all these different things. Kids who are hopeless, talking about suicide. Kids who are getting high after school because they just feel so empty. Teachers who are walking around totally depressed through the hallways. You don't have to tell me it doesn't happen. I'm in your schools all the time walking the hallways. I don't just see it. I have conversations with these people. And you guys are there. God's been so good to you to put you there. And He says, I want to use you as an instrument to bring hope to those people. To let them know that I love them and I forgive them if they'll just trust in me. And the cool part is that He's choosing to use you. But the enemy's saying, you can't do that. He's talking to you right now. I guarantee He's saying some stuff in your ear right now as I'm saying it. He's like, Rob's wrong. Don't listen to him. You can't do that. It's too scary. This reason, that reason. Don't listen. God is telling you tonight that He wants to use you, and He will if you just believe. If you say, I have faith in you, He'll make you His instrument just like He did David. So, it says, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. It's all faith. Nothing impressive here, just some stones. The most impressive thing, and always will be the most impressive thing, was God Himself on that battlefield. The glory of God showing up saying, here I am. You thought that video had a lot of hype? Imagine the hype when we get to see God in heaven face to face. The hype that will be real and amazing and blow our minds to be able to look into the face of Jesus. Oh my gosh. That's a day we'll talk about forever. Do you trust Him? Will you place your faith in Him and say, yes, God, here we go. Will you think back to those moments where He showed up when that lion or bear was coming at you and He showed up and you can cling to that and say, my God will come through again. And trust Him in the future to build those moments, to keep saying, keep building my faith as I trust You. Because God, I know You're here. Will you guys bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute? Here's my one challenge tonight. Will you trust God's view of you and not man's view? Don't trust what you think about yourself. Don't trust what people are telling you about you. Will you trust what God says about you? That you are loved, that you are His child, that you are forgiven, if you place your trust in Him tonight? And there might be some of you who are like, man, I've never placed my trust in Jesus. I've never done that. Maybe tonight's the night where God's saying, will you follow me? Will you trust me? Will you ask me to forgive you? If that's you tonight, can you slip your hand up in there and just say, that is me. I've never trusted Him, but I want to follow God. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to have eternal life at His side. Like that's me tonight, and I've never done it. Can you just slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Just say, like, will you pray, Rob, that I can find God in that way and have that trust in Him to be saved? I see your hand. Anybody else? Yeah, I see your hand. And if you're here tonight and you do believe in Christ and you've done that, you've had that moment with Him where you've asked Him for forgiveness and you've given Him your life, are you looking to Him with faith going, God, You're calling me. You're calling me to step up. You're calling me to follow You and trust You even in the scary moments. And tonight I'm willing to say, okay, like David, I'll run to the battlefield. I know it's scary. I get that. It's scary. But God, You're bigger. And tonight, I want to tell You, I trust You for that, and I will step up. If that's you tonight, will you slip your hand up? Yeah, I see your hands. I'm with you. My hand's up. I need you guys to pray for me too. I know you've got your eyes closed. You can't see me. My hand's up. Pray for me that I'd have the courage to run to the battle line because I believe in my God. And I see those of you guys who are saying the same. Let me pray for you right now. God, we need You. Lord, we're not much. We're broken people. But we've got the God of the universe on our side. And Lord, we trust You tonight. We put our hearts and faith in You. Will You help those who raise their hands? God, will You help us run to the battle line? Will You give us the courage to say, He's never fallen short? And God, for those who've raised their hand tonight to say, like, I don't know God as my Savior. I don't know Him. I don't have salvation or forgiveness. Lord, will You cause them to speak to a leader before they leave here? Will you cause them to have a conversation where they can find out how they can pray to You and give You their sin? How they can place their trust in You, Lord? Because God, I admit right now before this whole crowd, God, I love You. I'm not ashamed. And I pray that we as Firehouse would stand up and lead because we have the God of creation on our side. Change our community, change our schools, change this place for Your glory and for Your good because You're using us as Your people. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.